Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 93, would you believe it, of the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. We've got a diamond episode today. Today we have Conrad Gadia with us. He is a phenomenon, and I know that you're going to love his story because it is phenomenal. He's built a portfolio of 55 rent to rent rooms, and he's become a full-time property investor within 18 months of starting after being an employee for over 10 years. And he's raised over £250,000 and purchased his own HMO conversion. And he's taking it from 6-bedroom to 8-bedroom, all en suite. So we can't wait to get into all that. On top of that, he's created a system and management business, so his property portfolio runs without him. Conrad Gadia, welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Oh, that was a lovely introduction. Thank you very much. Yes, it's been a quite challenging period since I started, but it was definitely well worth it.
Yeah. Well, many people may know you from Facebook. I met you at the Rent to Rent live event, and I just loved your story and your sass and your hustle, basically. And I think people are really going to love your story. So take us back, Conrad, to the beginning. What were you doing when you first came across the idea of Rent to Rent?
Right. Okay. So before it all started, I came to England in 2014, and I was in a job. I started like warehouse jobs, like most of Polish people do. They come here and they start somewhere, just to start. And then we had some struggles. We've lost first job. Well, we've quit first job because they couldn't get us enough work. We struggled to pay bills. Then we got another job, which we've lost again. My partner got sacked for being pregnant, which was sad. And then we started another work. And this was the first workplace we went to. I used to work there for like 5 years in total since then. And I never had thought to be an investor before. And what's happened in that workplace, we had a chance to selling warehouse returns. It was like furnitures, you know, fitness equipment, this sort of stuff. So we had a chance to sell it after work. So we were buying this off my boss and then selling it. And we were doing this for like 3-ish years, I would say, and start seeing the progress of investing, that this really works. But we didn't know what to do. And accidentally, I came across Rich Dad Poor Dad book, which I read. I loved it, you know, in today's you know, 21st century with phones, you know, smartphones, etc. These devices are listening to us, because when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I start talking about properties, for example, with my fiance, the phone picked it up. And on the screen I had ads for property courses. So I've joined two of them, two different ones, free work. One of the was the workshop, the other one was 3-day course. And I realized like on those free events, they selling further events, further courses. And I've joined a rent-to-rent and no money down training. And this is how it started. I didn't know the strategy suited me. I never had like high income from my job to replace. and this was perfect. I never had a lot of money to start buying properties, and this was perfect just for me, and that's why I've chosen RedTrend.
So Conrad, well, there were some awful moments in there, like your wife being sacked for being pregnant, and you know, you having to give up jobs because you're not able, they're not giving you enough work. But you went through all of that and you started in property, but this is the difference. And I just want to ask you a question, because a lot of people might go to the course that you went to and want to get started, but just not be able to. What do you think is the difference between you and people who maybe wanted to get started but didn't?
Well, there is no difference. If I'm looking at my background, I came from pretty much nowhere, and I had no experience in business. My parents just taught me how to go to work. They never had a business. They always worked for somebody else. My mom used to try it once. She failed, unfortunately, when I was a kid. But this was maybe a seed in my mind. But I believe everybody, if I could start being an employee working in industrial works, industrial factories, warehouses, if I could start without any knowledge about property, and I could learn that, and I could put that in practice and get my first deal, then the next one, and the next one, and it gets easier and easier. So there is no excuses for anybody.
Yeah, okay, right. You're taking excuses away. But tell us, what were your very first steps? So you went on that course, you got the information, you're still working at the warehouse at the time, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How did you get started?
Right. So when I've joined the training, when I joined the free event, I was asking my boss. I remember this date. I was asking my boss. I've signed up for a training, and do you want to go with me? And he said, no. I know everything about property. That's exactly what he said, without having even his residential home. Not saying buy to lets, but he knows everything. I said, okay, he's an ignorant, which is fine. So I went to the course, I signed up for the next one, and I never told him anymore what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do on the backside, because he knew that I'm working here and I'm getting this side income from retail. And he was always repeating to me, you will never leave me because you earn too much. That's why I kept it quiet. And after the RedTrend training, I faced, well, it wasn't easy as it was presented on the event. On the event, like on the training, is everything like, okay, just go there, arrange some viewings, do some negotiations, get your first deal, set it up, and start making money in a simple way. However, it's not that easy to do. It's very simple, but it's not that easy. And I was really struggling at the beginning. It took me 9 months to get my first, well, two deals, because it was two properties at once. And the main bit I was struggling was negotiations, because I never knew how to negotiate. At my work, I never learned this skill, really. What happened then? I was facing rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection. And I had many thoughts for those of you who start in or want to get into rent to rent or to property. I had many thoughts before my first deal to quit. And I was trying to tell myself that it's not for me. I won't be able to do it. I'm not confident enough. I can do negotiations. But luckily enough, I had somebody close to me. It was my partner, Dorota. Mm-hmm. She was always saying, "Just go. Just mm-hmm. send some letters. Just make some phone calls. Just go for a networking event. You know, just do it." So I did, but I still struggled. I couldn't get my first deal, and I remember like it was yesterday, somebody from my network posted on Facebook that she's looking for funds for her purchase. and she was offering earn and learn. But I didn't have money, but I wanted to learn. But I knew somebody who had money and was willing to invest. So I've connected these two together. And the next day, this person rang me saying, like, do you know what? I've got somebody who's got two properties for sale. These were rent to rent. So, and then I realized, like, without any intention, I've tried to help somebody and somebody helped me. And that's how I got to the property. That's how I got my first deal.
I love that story so much. There's a few things that I want to draw out. That it took you 9 months to get your first two deals, but you kept going. And that is one of the key indicators of the successful is persistent. You carry on until you're successful. And you identified that, you know, negotiation was not a strong point for you. So we'll come on to that a little bit later on. And maybe you can give some negotiation tips to people. And finally, and the real gem here is that when you help people get what they want, it really helps you to succeed, even if it's not the same individual who you help who ends up helping you. When you have that focus, when you're focused on helping the agents get what they want, helping the landlords get what they want, helping the housemates get what they want, it just helps you also to get what you want. So that is such an important lesson. So I would love to know, what method did you choose to get those first two deals after 9 months of, sorry. You were introduced to the landlord. That was right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You were introduced.
Yeah. Well, I was introduced to sourcing agent. So I was introduced to sourcing agent, and he introduced me with the landlord, and it was a bit of time because this was happening some sort of end of August, beginning of September, and the deal was the keys was to collect in January, from 1st of January, 2019, and. So I had a bit of time. So the sourcing fee was quite high. This was two properties. It was 5 years contract. And now with a bit of experience, I see that the sourcing agent was very greedy at that point. This wasn't a good deal, but I was blind. I just wanted to get on the property ladder. I just wanted to get my first deal. I was just seeing, like, okay, this will cash flow over £1,000 a month, and no matter how much I will spend initially. So I was sold, like, okay, there is nothing needed in the property. There was, like, just a little investment. You pay a sourcing fee, there is a little bit of investment, and you'll get your deal. And on the viewing, it was like, I didn't know. I didn't have a checklist. I didn't know what to look for, right? And I was just so excited. You know, I'm viewing the property, and the deal is done, and the viewing. We view two properties within, I don't know, 3-4 minutes, and then we chat outside in the back garden discussing things, and I haven't seen, like, there is a bathroom. Which is leaking. I haven't seen many things which I should have seen. Like, I've been told the house will be furnished. It was unfurnished, and we've ended up spending over $15,000 for a property deal which cash flows $1,000. Well, two deals, and I'm always repeating the same thing, that this was the worst thing that could happen to me, because I didn't have $15,000, obviously. But it was the best thing that could happen to me, because I got into the property ladder, and it happened to move on. And coming back to sourcing fee, as this was a bit of time from August, September till January. Well, obviously I didn't have money to pay this sourcing fee in my pocket, and that's a funny story because I was asking people directly, like, okay, would you lend me money? I've got this deal. And nobody was interested in this. But I had the sourcing fee to pay. It was getting closer. The agent wanted to pay me straight away. I've negotiated. I pay him a deposit, and then the rest in December, which was fine. And the deadline was coming, and I still had no funds. So what I did, I had BMW 5 Series, quite nice. I had a van, which I've sold together. I've bought a minivan, a Volkswagen Charan. And I've managed to cover the cost of a sourcing fee. And what's funny then, you remember I've told you that my boss mentioned, when I've asked my boss that about properties, he said he knows everything. When I've sold my car and the van, he came to me and asking, what the heck are you doing? In a nice way. And I explained him that. That I've got this deal, and he started asking questions, was the cash flow, was the location, etc. So and I was excited. I've explained him like nicely without asking any question. He asked me like, do you need an investor? And I was like, do you have somebody? I haven't asked him like, oh, will you lend me money? No, I had, do you have someone? And he said, I could be interested. I'm interested. And we set up a joint venture, and he covered the rest of the costs. And that's how I started with it. Oh, I think I've lost the voice. I can't hear you now.
Yeah, sorry, I muted. Oh my gosh, that is why I love this story. It's such an epic story. And let me just clarify a few things as well. So altogether, you paid £15,000 for the two properties. Is that for both of them?
Yeah.
And you did that include the sourcing fee? Did that include the sourcing fee?
Yes.
How much was the sourcing fee?
£7,000.
So you paid £7,000 for the sourcing fee and £8,000 to do up the two properties.
Yeah, it was more. We didn't run the numbers like accurately, but it was over 15,000.
Yes, yes.
Like eight thousand for setting up. We had to refurb the bathroom, feed the boiler, you know, partitionals which we were aware, dressing up the property, repainting. There were like an old cooker we had to remove. Like, you know, it was quite a lot to do. A lot to do for a rent-to-rent property.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So let's just briefly talk about sources. And I think you covered it yourself. Some of the sources are, well, shall we use the word greedy? They charge a lot for their deals. Let's put it that way. And some of the deals are not as good as they seem. It's almost dishonest what some of them do. And not suggesting that, well, this person perhaps misrepresented if we want to dress it up a bit more, a bit nicer. So it is really important to be diligent. But as you said, you took action and you got started and it ended up with a good payoff. The other thing I really want to highlight here is what's coming through again and again in your story is the power of relationships. How you got introduced to this property was you had helped somebody. How you got your JV was you have been a JV partner for your boss for many years. He's seen you working hard in your day job, but also he's seen that you're entrepreneurial on the side. You're buying things off of him that you can then sell yourself and you're making that business work. And so when you come up with a new business idea, he's happy to back you because he knows that you do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, and that's how it was. Exactly.
So those are really the two key messages for success in business, in life. It's all about having those relationships and, you know, being a person who helps other people get what they want. And also at the same time, you get what you want. So you've got these two properties. You've had this bit of a nightmare stress time, but you have made it work. You didn't just say, right, I need 15K. I don't have 15K. I've got to end this dream now. You kept going until you found a way to do it. Can I ask you, did you feel totally certain that you would get it, or did you were you doubtful that you would get 15K?
I was getting doubtful, to be honest, because it was, well, I didn't have much time. At the beginning, there is a common sentence around that find a deal and money will follow. And that's what I had in back of my mind always. And in August, in September, I always told myself, like, okay, find a deal, money will follow. But nobody wanted to invest in this deal. And the time was coming. I knew I need to do something. I was doubting, maybe not much doubting, but I was losing faith that I'm not going to do it. But the only thing I could, how I could raise money, I had to use my own money, reduce my lifestyle,
yes.
Which will, on the long term, will bring me a better lifestyle. And if my boss wouldn't come to me, well, I have no idea what would I do. I had no credit cards. I had like 2,000 credit cards, which was obviously not enough. Well, I'll probably figure out something. That's what I do. Like, if there is a problem, there is always a solution. If we want really, really, really want something, we will find a way to sort it out. But yes, I was losing faith.
Yeah. So you were selling the cars. I like that because you're taking action that you can take. And the other thing is you were telling everyone what you do and you have a network that could help you. So you were asking people, you were going out, and probably now you understand more how to present the investment as an opportunity mm-hmm. rather than a request, because that obviously draws more people in. And what you said to your boss actually was, do you know anyone who might want to, you know, when he offered you, rather than asking him outright? And he said, you know what, I might be interested. Mm-hmm. When you speak the language of opportunity, and obviously he knew you and he knows that you deliver. So you've got the two properties. You've gone through the fire with the refurb. Tell us about, you know, getting those first tenants.
Right. Okay. That's also funny because, we spent all our both money, really. To be honest, we spent both our money on the refurb. And then we were skimpy a little bit. Well, maybe it wasn't me on this side, but my boss didn't want to spend money on dressing the property and a photograph because we were in joint venture. I was saying, like, we have to do it. So we took the picture with our iPhone. And the pictures were taken in the night with iPhone. So you can imagine that the pictures were crap, weren't good enough. And we still couldn't rent the rooms out. So there's another challenge we had to face, like filling up the tenants. We had to improve. I seek advice through my mentors, like, okay, what I'm doing wrong? This is the pictures. It's a great location. And the rental value isn't too high, but we don't have tenants. And the first answer was, you need to dress it up and you need to take a professional photos. And once we did that, we've managed to fill those rooms well quite quickly. And we had 2 months grace period. The first tenant moved in on 25th of February. I remember this as today. And I think by end of March we have filled all 8 bedrooms.
Fantastic. I love that. And in the Kickstarter, that's one of the things we go into. The photos are so important. The dressing is so important. People buy with their eyes.
Yeah.
And so those two things really do shift it. So it's good that you say that. Now, can I just ask a question about your JV? So your boss or your JV partner, let's call him, put all the money in. You put all the time.
Half the money.
Oh, who put half?
Yeah, because I've put my half from my car and the van.
And
then he put the rest. That's how it was.
And then you put all the time in and mm-hmm. you share everything 50-50.
Well, the agreement between me and my boss was that we both work on this business and we share 50. Well, actually, I was. He was minor. He had like 45. I was 55, so I had more shares.
Yeah.
yeah, so this was the split we had.
Yeah. Okay. And people ask about JVs, and obviously you've been going now, is it 18 months or is it a bit longer than that, isn't it?
18 months from January 2019. So it was July. Yeah. It was July 2020, end of July, when I quit my job and I finished the JV relationship with my boss as well.
If you don't mind me asking, obviously you maybe don't want to go into too much detail, but I would love to just know at a high level why that was.
Well, okay, so the initial agreement was we both work on this business.
Oh, right, yes.
Right, so that was the agreement. And it turned out that I was working on the business and he was really doing nothing. That's different if you from the beginning agree, like, okay, you do the work and I'm on the side. It will be fine. But if somebody tells was telling, like, okay, we do it together and he's not doing it what he has to do, then I wasn't happy on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And so you're now carrying on your own. So we've heard about the first deal. We've heard about the tenancy. We've heard about the refurb. Let's hear about the cash flow.
Right. Okay. So what exactly about cash flow would you like to know? How much those two deals were cash flowing?
Yeah.
Right. So these two deals, we've expected to cash flow, like, well, we were considering whether we rent to students or whether we rent to professionals. The timing wasn't great for students, so we've chosen professionals, and its cash flows around now is around £1,200. Mm-hmm, at the time, it was around 1,000. We've increased the price along the time.
Yeah, that's great. So obviously, it takes you a long time to get your money back. Is it a year or so?
Yeah, like 15, 16 months probably.
Yeah.
So we got it back. We got it back at the end, but it took a long time to do so.
Yeah. And tell us about where you've gone from there, because I know you've blown this thing up now. 55 rooms you've got since starting that you've now got under management in rent to rent. So just paint us a picture of the journey from those two properties to the 55 rooms you now have.
Right. Okay. So once we got this deal up and running, then we went for the next one. And the next one came just from word of mouth. A friend of a friend was moving away to a different city, relocation. And then we came with our, well, somebody told her that there is a Conrad and Mark, they're doing this, and you should have a conversation with them. So we've secured a property, which is a 4-bed. And this was, first three properties were 4-beds. And the third one was a new build. It was like 2 years old building. So it's very new, very fresh, you know. And the landlord could get a rent of 1,200 via agent or for family. And I, when I negotiated with her, I said, like, look, 1,200 is not what you get. There is a monthly fee, there is let out fee, there are voids, and there are maintenance. And in reality, you are getting around 900, and then we can offer you more. So we've offered we've offered 950, and we've agreed 1,000 at the end. So that was the next deal in April. So it was 3 months. It wasn't 9 months for the next one. It was 3 months.
Yes.
And we got it. We've agreed deal in April. We got it in June, because that's when she was relocating. And, well, this one was rented very quickly. Like, within 2 weeks, we've rented those 4 rooms because it was a nice property. And then we stopped. That the other reason we stepped back with my joint venture partner, because he was saying, don't do it fast, you know, get this deal, wait another year or so. I wanted to move on. I wanted to grow, you know, and his plan was to keep me at work as long as possible. That's why he was saying, don't do it quick.
Yeah.
So he was always saying, like, okay, don't do it, wait, you know, it's risky all the time. And my partner told me once, like, we should move on, and we've joined the challenge. It was a 7-day challenge where within 7 days, we got two deals. It was in September. So we got those two properties. Then we had funded one for another investor. Those properties were cash flowing nicely. We could fund JV with somebody else. So we funded another deal. So it was deal five. Then we had two service accommodation in January and February 2020. So as you can imagine, it wasn't the greatest time for service for getting into service accommodation. but still, one of this essay was performing very well. We've made around 10K profit throughout the year of COVID. And the other one has lost us around, it was 3,000 or 4,000, I can't remember now, through COVID. So we were okay. We were okay for that. And then in last June, I was like, when I'm looking for deals, I'm looking for deals. When I'm setting them up, you know, I don't want to look for deals when I have voids. When I've got everything filled, then I was able to get the next deal. Then in June, we sent out some letters, like 50 letters we sent out. We had no response for HMOs. We had no response whatsoever. So we've sent out another 50 letters. We had one lead, which was not worth anything. Then we've sent out another 50 letters, and we got a deal from, well, we get a call from a landlord who ended up to being largest landlord in our area. And he had loads of properties. So we had last year itself from 23, we've jumped in. We had 23 rooms on rent, and we taken on an additional 26.
Wow.
So we've over doubled our portfolio within a month. So which was a big step forward, especially the COVID was still there. I was very scared of that, and I was very worried what if I won't feel it, what if I, you know, won't manage to do it, you know. But we've managed. We had to do it. There was no other way. We just had to put a lot of marketing, you know, and fill those rooms. And this was like, you know, golden egg, like, you know, getting this connection. Maybe this wasn't the greatest deals. I knew I wanted to be close to this landlord. I knew I can learn a lot from him. And that was true. This year itself, we have another four properties which we either sold or kept ourselves. On the last rent-to-rent, live, I've mentioned to you that that we may be getting, we had two deals, like, or three deals. We've got another one coming up next week from the same landlord.
Wow, yeah.
So it was well worth it. Plus, we went packaging some deals along the way as well, rent-to-rent.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the story you told about the letters, because actually 50 letters is not very many to send. So to get a deal out of 150 letters is actually good. But what a deal to get. So the letters are so worthwhile, definitely. And again, it's building that relationship whereby you're doing great work for the owners, for that landlord specifically, and he's now giving you more properties, and you're able to double your portfolio through one person.
Yeah, absolutely, more than double. We have and it's great, because we don't need to, you know, when we have like 10 properties and from 10 different people, then we need to manage in reality 10 different people.
Yeah,
but if you have like 10 properties with one landlord, it's much easier, because this one landlord will give you even more if you provide good service and you just talk to one person, which is great. I love it.
Yeah. And you're more experienced now as well. And I'm sure you're doing things differently than you did on your first two. And tell us about what your approach is now to refurbishments, and approximately how much do you spend nowadays?
Right. Okay. So now we're no longer taking like four bedroom houses, three bed, two reception rooms, and converting them to four beds. because we've learned along the way that this, well, the properties were taken and they wasn't compliant. And once we get a deal, landlord refused to put any money into it, like fire alarms. Then we had additional licensing came. We had to put fire doors, you know, make the property compliant, which was seriously expensive. So now we're targeting only compliant HMOs with all the regulations as it should be, which saves a lot of cost. Ideally, if they are furnished. And what we do, what we're doing now, we're just repainting, redecorating, hot staging, and taking professional photos. Now I don't spend more than 3,000 for setting up the property. It's really, if I spend it more than 3,000, it's really expensive. I don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in many cases, the landlords will pay. And that's the ballpark that I give to all the Kickstarters, anywhere between 0 and 3,000 for the refurbishments. And yeah, so I love that you've evolved there. Now, a lot of people, Conrad, will be exactly like you were at the beginning. You are wanting to create, you know, another stream of income, basically. And you heard about rent to rent, you thought it could work for you. You were disheartened because it'd been 9 months and it hadn't quite come together for you. What advice would you give to other people?
Well, it's not gonna be easy. It's definitely not gonna be easy, but it's gonna be worth it. There will be challenges along the way, but there will always be. And it's a matter of learning how to overcome them and get a support, I would say. If it's not, well, I had a mentor who was helping me from the beginning, but I also, apart from having a mentor, I had somebody close by. And I know many people don't have somebody like a partner who will support you in what you do. That's why it is so important to join like communities, join people who are within the same, who have the same goals, who have the same vision, a mentor who can guide you how to overcome those challenges. Don't be on your own in this. There are people who will help you. You just need to keep going and keep doing those viewings, keep putting offers, keep the negotiation, improve your negotiations, and it will be okay. And you will get your first deal, second deal, third deal. The ball will start rolling.
Yeah, it is so important to have that community. And I know that that's one of the things that people love inside the Kickstarter group. And I, speaking of communities, you're also the host of Progressive at Leamington Spa. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. When do you meet?
Right. Okay. So our next meeting is on 15th of September. I'm relatively new host because after COVID, the previous host stepped back and he offered me to take it over. So we had as a host, I had only one meeting in July. Then the next meeting is September, I think it's 15th at 6:30 PM in Warwick. If anyone wants more details, you can Google PPN Leamington Spa Facebook page, and all the details will be there. And you're most welcome to come and join us.
Yeah, we'd love to. And Conrad, where can people find you? I think you said you're mainly on Facebook.
I'm mainly on Facebook. Yes, I do have Instagram. I do have LinkedIn, but I don't use those platforms much. I know I need to be using more, but I'm mainly on visible on Facebook.
So people can send you a Facebook message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's Conrad Gajda.
Yeah. Conrad Gajda.
Oh, Conrad Gajda.
Yeah.
Lovely.
But I got used to. Everyone calls me Gajda.
They're mashing up your name, smashing
it's okay.
it up.
It's okay, as I said, I got used to it.
So it's G-A-J-D-A.
That's right.
And Conrad with a K, K-O-N-R-A-D on Facebook and at KM Guider on Instagram. It's been phenomenal having you on the show this evening, Conrad, and sharing your story. And I think we've taken the message of building relationships, doing what you say you will, having that grit and that persistence. And I just, all the success you have is so well deserved. And at the meeting where I saw you presenting the Rent to Rent Live, hosted by Steve Curtis, I loved the refurbishments you did and the care and diligence you take with your properties. So I just want to commend you on all the success that you've achieved and to wish you all the best for the future as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to add in closing that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to add?
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this question. Well, I think we're good. I think we're good. If anyone wants to ask me any question, feel free to reach out. I'll be happy to help. I'm not, maybe it may take sometimes a day or two to respond, but I'll always respond.
Thank you. You're such an inspiration, Conrad. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching and listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I have. One of the things I love about being the host of a podcast is I get to speak to all these amazing, inspirational people. So we will, if you have a question that you'd love us to answer about rent to rent, you can go to renttorentsuccess.com/ask. And until next week, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer. See you soon. Bye for now. See you.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
Thanks. Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rent to rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent-to-rent HMO book and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.